We're looking at the chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, which just started yesterday for Ekadashi. So we'll be chanting this chapter every day, all CHAD members around the world, for every day for this month, starting yesterday for Ekadashi, the Transcendental Knowledge. Thinking of starting CHAD Plus. That means one chapter of Gita and one chapter of Bhagavatam. You can be a regular CHAD member or a CHAD Plus member. But we'll have to check with Gandharvika to see if it's okay. CHAD Plus, Premier. Then there'll be CHAD Plus Premier. Okay, so let's read the translations for this chapter. The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna said. Actually, let's do five apiece and we'll pass around the microphone. Do we have the microphones available? Are there two or three now? Three, wow. Okay, good. So there's one in the back, one on this side, and one on that side. We'll go by, you know, quadrants today. So I'll do five, then we'll go around clockwise. The personality of Godhead. Lord Sri Krishna said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivaswan, and Vivaswan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. That very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you, because you are my devotee as well as my friend, and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of that science. Arjuna said, the sun god Vivaswan is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed this science to him? The personality of Godhead said, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy.
Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of religion, at that time I descend myself. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me.
As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Partha. Men in this world desire success in fruitive activities, and therefore they worship the demigods. Quickly, of course, men get results from fruitive work in this world. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. There is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruitive reactions of the work. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps.
Even the intelligent are bewildered in determining what is action and what is inaction. Now I shall explain to you what action is, knowing which you shall be liberated from all misfortune. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. One who sees inaction in action and action in inaction is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position. although engaged in all sorts of activities. One is understood to be in full knowledge, whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge. Abandoning all attachment to the results of his activities, ever satisfied and independent, he performs no fruitive action, although engaged in all kinds of undertakings.
Such a man of understanding acts with a mind and intelligence personally, perfectly controlled, gives all sense of proprietorship over his poisonous and acts only for the bare necessities of life. Thus working, he is not affected by sinful reactions. He who is satisfied with the gain which comes of its own accord, who is free from all duality and does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure, he is never entangled, although performing the actions. The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is fully suited in the transcendental knowledge merges entirely into the transcendence. A person who is fully absorbed in the Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his fully contribution to the spiritual activities in which the
consummation
is absolute, and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods of offering different sacrifice to them, and some of them offer sacrifice in the fire of Supreme Brahma.
Some, the unadulterated brahmacharis, sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control, and others, the regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. Others who are interested in achieving self-realization through control of the mind and the senses offer the functions of all the senses and of the life breath as oblations into the fire of the controlled mind. Having accepted strict vows, some become enlightened by sacrificing their possessions and others by performing severe austerities. By practicing the yoga of eightfold mysticism or by studying the Vedas to advance in transcendental knowledge. Still others who are inclined to process of breath restraint to remain in trance, practice by offering the movement of the outgoing breath into the incoming and the incoming breath into the outgoing, and thus at last remain in trance, stopping all breathing. Others curtailing the eating process offer the outgoing breath into itself as a sacrifice. All these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of sinful reactions, and having tasted the nectar of the results of the sacrifices, they advance towards the supreme eternal atmosphere.
O best of the Kuru dynasty, without sacrifice, one can never live with happily on this planet or in this life. What then for the next? All these different types of sacrifice are approved by the Vedas, and all of them are born of different types of work. Knowing them as such, you will become liberated. O chastiser of enemy, the sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than the mere sacrifice of material possessions. After all, O son of Pritha, all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine.
Even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjun, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all the reactions to material activities. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. But ignorant and faithful persons who doubt the revealed scriptures... But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next.
One who acts in devotional services renouncing the fruits of his actions and whose doubts have been destroyed and transcendental knowledge is situated factually in the self. Thus, he is not bound by the reaction of work, O conqueror of riches. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by weapons of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight.
Purport. The yoga system instructed in this chapter is called Sanatana Yoga, or eternal activities performed. Pardon me? Last purport, yeah. The yoga system, this is the purport to 442. The yoga system instructed in this chapter is called Sanatana Yoga, or eternal activities performed by the living entity. This yoga has two divisions of sacrificial actions. One is called sacrifice of one's material possessions, and the other is called knowledge of self, which is pure spiritual activity. If sacrifice of one's material possessions is not dovetailed for spiritual realization, then such sacrifice becomes material. But one who performs such sacrifices with a spiritual objective or in devotional service makes a perfect sacrifice. When we come to spiritual activities, we find that these are also divided into two, namely understanding of one's own self or one's constitutional position and the truth regarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who follows the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is, can very easily understand these two important divisions of spiritual knowledge. For him, there is no difficulty in obtaining perfect knowledge of the self as part and parcel of the Lord. As such, such understanding is beneficial, for such a person can easily understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. In the beginning of this chapter, the transcendental activities of the Lord were discussed by the Supreme Lord himself. One who does not understand the instructions of the Gita is faithless and is to be considered to be misusing the fragmental independence awarded to him by the Lord. In spite of such instructions, one who does not understand the real nature of the Lord as the eternal, blissful, all-knowing personality of Godhead is certainly fool number one. Ignorance can be removed by gradual acceptance of the principles of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is awakened by different types of sacrifices to the demigods, sacrifice to Brahman, sacrifice in celibacy, in household life, in controlling the senses, in practicing mystic yoga, in penance, in foregoing material possessions, in studying the Vedas, and in partaking of the social institution called Varnashram Dharma. All of these are known as sacrifice, and all of them are based on regulated action. But within all these activities, the important factor is self-realization. One who seeks that objective is the real student of Bhagavad Gita, but one who doubts the authority of Krishna falls back. One is therefore advised to study Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture under a bona fide spiritual master with service and surrender. A bona fide spiritual master is in the disciplic succession from time eternal, and he does not deviate at all from the instructions of the Supreme Lord as they were imparted millions of years ago to the sun god, from whom the instructions of Bhagavad Gita have come down to the earthly kingdom. One should therefore follow the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is expressed in the Gita itself, and beware of self-interested people after personal aggrandizement who deviate others from the actual path. The Lord is definitely the Supreme Person, and His activities are transcendental. One who understands this is a liberated person from the very beginning of his study of the Bhagavad Gita. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the fourth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of transcendental knowledge. Srila Prabhupada often includes a summary of the entire chapter at the last purport. So although we just started reading this chapter, we started with the last purport. And there's a description of sacrifice. And of course, Prabhupada defines this yoga system as Sanatana Yoga, or eternal activities performed by the living entity. And then he gives the two divisions of sacrificial actions. One is called sacrifice of material possessions, and the other is called sacrifice of knowledge. Knowledge of the self, which is pure spiritual activity. If sacrifice of one's material possessions is not dovetailed for spiritual realization, then such sacrifice becomes material. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a conversation between Narada and Vyas, and Vyasadeva is feeling unsatisfied, even though he's already compiled the Puranas and the Vedas, and he's been strict in his vows. And he asks Narada, what is the reason for his despondency? And Narada Muni says many things, but among them are Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam, nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam, kutakpunash shashvara bhadramishvare, nacharpitam karma yarapyakaranam. Shishi radamadan mohanji ki jai. Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam, nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam. Do you know this verse? Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam, bhava varjitam, nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam. Naishkarmyam apyachuta bharjitam. One, seven, one. Look it up. It's in the shloka book. Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam. This verse means that self-realization, any kind of cultivation of sacrifice without a conception of achyuta, the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, is not very appealing. Nashobate, it's not beautiful. It doesn't look good. Nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam. You can get this kind of, even if it's devoid of the tinge of the modes of material nature, naishkarmyam means it's not the karma of this material world. It's so-called liberated activity. Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam. Chuta bhav. It doesn't have that bhav, achyuta bhav. Nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam. Therefore, it's not beautiful. It's not attractive. Then he says that what to speak, kutakpuna shashvara padramishvare, of material activities which are inauspicious from the very beginning. I mean, if transcendental activities are not very sanguine, and they're not pleasing, and they're not beautiful, if they're devoid of achyuta bhav, or connection to the Supreme Personality of God, and what to speak of material activities that have nothing to do with pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they're inauspicious from very beginning to the end. And later on, the Sri Vyasadeva, Sri Narada Muni says that anything you desire to describe that's separate in vision from the Lord simply reacts with different names, forms, and results to agitate the mind. It's getting really loud out there. Is there anything we can do, like windows or something? And can you all move up a space? So Srila Prabhupada says here, but one who performs such sacrifices with a spiritual objective or in devotional service makes a perfect sacrifice. When we come to spiritual activities, we find that there are also they are also divided into two. So the objective of the sacrifice, when it is aimed at achyuta bhav, then it becomes perfectly motivated, and the result is also perfect. In the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, Krishna says, Neha bikramanashosti pratyavayo nividyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat, that the little bit of this connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Buddhi Yoga, it can save one from the most dangerous type of fear, falling back down again from the opportunity to attain perfection in the human form of life. It's so valuable, this connection to Krishna. So whatever sacrifice one does, if it is connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it has the best result. Otherwise, the result is negligible, or it is non-existent. Anything so far? Hare Krishna. Okay, the second part. When we come to spiritual activities, we find that these are also divided into two, namely understanding of one's own self or one's constitutional position and the truth regarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're on page 240, right in the middle of the paragraph. One who follows the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is can very easily understand these two important divisions of spiritual knowledge. For him, there is no difficulty in obtaining perfect knowledge of the self as part and parcel of the Lord. So we found out in chapter 13 that Krishna's definition of knowledge is Kshetrajnam chapimam vidis sarva kshetri shubharata kshetra kshetra gnayo jnanam yatach jnanam matammama. Right? We found that out. That Krishna defines knowledge as being able to see the difference between the field and the knower of the field. So there's kshetra and kshetrajna. So there are processes of self-realization in which one comes to understand the self. But then there's the super self beyond just the self, which Krishna describes that there's a knower of both the field and the living entity. And he knows all the fields, not just one field like the living entity, but he's aware of everything. Vedaham samatitani vartamana nicharjuna bhavishani chabutani mamtu veda nakashjana. We discussed last week how Krishna knows everything and he knows everyone. But do you know everyone? You sure? We barely know ourselves. We're barely aware of this field. But Krishna says he's aware of all fields. And in Bhagavad Gita as it is, we come to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we are part and parcel of Krishna. Where does it say that in the Gita? Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manakshastanindriyani prakriti stani karshati. So Krishna says that the jiva, mamai vamsho, he's an ansha. He's a little part. Mama, and he's my part. Mamai vamsho jiva loke, all the jivas in this world, the living entities, are my parts and parcels. Jiva bhuta sanatana, eternally, my parts and parcels. Manakshastan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. What does that mean? Manakshastan indriyani. Yeah, and the mind is the center of all the senses. And then prakti shanikarshati means struggling, grappling hard. He's in his own realm, grappling very hard with the mind and the senses. And Krishna is also aware of the living entity. He's there within the living entity's heart. Where does it say that in the Bhagavad Gita? Sarvasya chaham ridisani vishto mattaksmitir gyanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarver ahameva vedyo vedanta krit veda vedeva chaham. Anywhere else? That's 15:15, if you want to look it up, where Krishna says, I'm in everyone's heart as the super soul. Sarvasya chaham ridisani vishto. Very clearly says that. How about Ishvara sarva bhutanam rider sharjuna tishtati? Ramayan sarvabhutani yantra rudrani mayaya. Again, Krishna says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriday. He says again, hriday. I'm there within the heart of every living being. And as they're wandering, he's going with them everywhere they go. So Krishna's there along with the jiva, who's struggling very hard. Is Krishna struggling very hard with the six senses and the mind? What do you think? Huh? Is Krishna struggling very hard with the six senses of the mind or just the jiva? Can you prove it? Where does Krishna say that he's not struggling very hard like the jiva is struggling, that he's above it all? In this chapter, he mentions, right? Yes, namam karma nilim tanti. You can look that up. It's in this chapter. And Krishna is saying that I'm not under the laws of the material nature like the living entity is. And furthermore, one who understands this about me also becomes free. So this is the great knowledge of this chapter, the transcendental knowledge that frees us from the hard struggle for existence in the material world. It's understanding Krishna's supreme position. And this is what he says in several places. Also, he says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvata. Tyaktva deham punar janma naitimam eti sorjana. How does one become liberated from the material world according to Krishna in this chapter? If you just tattvata, in truth, understand that Krishna's janma and karma are divyam. They're transcendental. They're not ordinary. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo viti tattvata. Tyaktva deham. When you give up the body, tyaktva deham punar janma, and you don't take birth again. Naiti mam iti sorjana. So this is the effect of transcendental knowledge, and the very specific transcendental knowledge in this chapter is that Krishna is the source of the jiva, and that he is completely transcendental. He's never under the laws of material nature by his birth, by his activities. And if we understand this in truth, then we become also liberated from the effects of the material nature. Yes.
What does it mean by understanding it?
Let's read that purport, because Prabhupada says something very profound there. So this is on page 204 in Bhagavad Gita, and the verse is 4:9. I'll say, please repeat. Janma karma chame divyam. Evam yo veti tattvataha. Tyaktva deham punar janma. Naitimam eti sorjuna. Janma, birth. Karma, work. Cha, also. Me, of mine. Divyam, transcendental. Evam, like this. Yaha, anyone who. Veti, knows. Tattvataha, in reality. Tyaktva, leaving aside. Deham, this body. Punaha, again. Janma, birth. Na, never. Eti, does attain. Mam, unto me. Eti, does attain. Saha, he. Arjuna, O Arjuna. Translation. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport. The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahmajyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is the risk of returning to this material world. But the devotees, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadyam, Anantarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers. As stated in the Vedas, Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, Eko Devo Nitya Linanurakto Bhaktivyapi Hridyantarama, the one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationships with his unalloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculation, attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Ramananda Sakha Prabhu, do you accept that Krishna, his birth, his activities, his body, are all transcendental? Do you accept that on the authority of the Vedas and on the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Yes.
Do you choose to forego speculating and wasting time to come to this conclusion?
Yes.
Thank you very much. You're a liberated soul. Simply by accepting this truth on faith, one can, without a doubt, attain liberation. Haribo! We're living amongst the liberated souls. The Vedic version, Tattvamasi, is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, you are the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead, is certainly liberated instantly. Please repeat. O Krishna. O Lord Radhamaran Mohan. O Mahaprabhu. O Shri Shri Lakshmi Nrsingadev. You are certainly the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead.
You are certainly the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead.
Anyone who says this is certainly liberated instantly. And consequently, And consequently, his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. You glad you came tonight? Okay. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection, and this is confirmed by the following Vedic assertion. Tam eva viditvati mrityumeti nanya panta vidyate yanaya. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no other way to achieve this perfection. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.8. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation simply, so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. So the direct process of hearing about Krishna in the line of disciplic succession brings us immediately to the point of understanding, or at least those who are faithful, of accepting that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those who accept this fact are liberated from this material world. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. In truth, tatvadeham punar janma naiti mam eti sorjana. So Srila Prabhupada mentions here that you save time from the speculative process if you simply accept from the authority. If someone comes here, you're lacking some funds, and someone comes in the room tonight and they have a bag on their shoulder and they say, there's $1 million in this bag, would you like it? Would you accept it? And you say,
yeah.
Okay. Hansapriya gets it because she said first. Let me check what I have here. So in the same way, Krishna's coming and telling about himself, and he's saying that I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you simply accept Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you win. There's your $1 million. Take it and go. Sarvadharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papi mumuksha ishami masucha. Krishna says, just surrender to me. Don't worry, don't fear, don't hesitate. Why? Why do anything else? So this is the transcendental knowledge in this chapter. Krishna is beyond the modes of material nature. His form, his activities, his birth, they're all completely transcendental. And by accepting that on faith, then you're there. Prabhupada said in one letter to a devotee that he wrote, he wrote it. He said that the desire for liberation and liberation itself are the same. In other words, if you're desiring to know Krishna, if you're desiring to be liberated, then also that impetus that you have is also a sign that you're liberated. There may be different degrees. There's a green mango and there's a ripe mango. But a mango is a mango. Yes, Rakshit.
Wouldn't we say that the acceptance by faith comes actually because one has developed? As you were reading the purport, I thought there was a very significant phrase, which was, one has to understand this fact with conviction. Wouldn't we say that in certain cases that precedes acceptance by faith? Means the thing is, one is not blindly accepting it through faith, but has come to a level of understanding where one is able to see that, yes, the Lord exists, He is supreme. One has, for instance, gained some insight because one has studied the qualities, attributes, everything about the Lord, and has come to that conviction and so accepts it by faith.
There's a case for that, which I'll go into support your case. There's also a case for if a child comes in this room and says, this is a microphone, because his father told him it's a microphone, and the child accepts it's a microphone, but he's never studied microphones before. He doesn't even know what a microphone is. He says, what is this? And the father says, it's a microphone. And then somebody else comes in the room and says, what is it? And the child says, it's a microphone. The effect is the same because he accepts the authority of his father. So if you accept the perfect authority and you take what the perfect authority says, if you happen to be lined up perfectly by taking the Bhagavad Gita as it is, then the effect will be the same. You'll be liberated because you're taking perfect knowledge from the perfect source. However, there are degrees of faith and one who is fortified with knowledge and detachment can move steadily on the path of devotional service, and also that faith becomes more determined. There's the word conviction, drida, means convicted. So there are several aspects of conviction that that Krishna mentions. One, seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, yesham twantatukatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva mohanir mukta bhajantimam dridavrita. Krishna says that one who has given up all kinds of sinful activities, yesham twantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam, he's free from the sinful activities of this material world, then he becomes determined in his devotional service. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author, Kaviraj Goswami, says, Siddhanta Bolya Chitanakara Alash, Iha Hoite Krishna Lagi Sudrid Manash. That by discussing Siddhanta, specifically in the case of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami is talking about the tattva, the Siddhanta of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says, don't neglect the details of such discussion, thinking them controversial. Don't be lazy. Don't be alash. Because by discussing the Siddhanta from different angles of vision and from logic, from the Shastra, then iha hoite logi Krishna sudrid manash. Then the mind becomes drida, becomes convicted, determined. So you can make the case both ways. But definitely in the execution of devotional service, understanding through Shastra is highly valued. Tachchadhana munayo, you all know this verse. If you're a member of Chad Plus, you probably know this verse. Tashchadadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyantyatmani chatmanam bhaktya shuta grihitaya. You know where the verse is from, right? Who can say? If Pooja was here, she could say. It's from the Divinity and Divine Service, right? Tachchadadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyantyatmani chatmanam bhakti shuta grihitaya. That the serious inquisitive student or sage who is fortified with knowledge and detachment from the world can proceed steadily on the path of devotional service. So that conviction, it gets fortified as one continues the process of devotional service through hearing and chanting and associating with devotees. And in the gradations of devotees, starting from the lowest class, the Prakriti Bhakta, who is what we call the beginning stage, the neophyte devotee has what we call Komal Shraddha. It's weak faith. It's like a little plant. It can dry out. It can become eaten very easily, because it's not strong yet. And the beginning devotee has this kind of very tender faith and also has no fortification from Shastra, from scriptures. The Madhyam, the middle devotee, has strong faith. The faith has become stronger, but there's no fortification by scripture. He can't make logical arguments, defend himself in an argument through Shastra and such. But the topmost devotee, the Uttama Adhikari, has strong faith and also has the wherewithal to, well, Shastra Nipuna, which means he's very conversant with Shastra. He or she knows all the different angles and has sort of an intuition where everything is. Has a clear understanding of how Shastra comes together, how it's all put together. We say, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno Shadharma Samstapako. The Goswamis, I mean, really, if you just hand somebody the Vedas, what are they going to do? They'll be confused because there's a lot there. And most people are. If you talk to people who have even read the Bhagavad Gita, they think it's this, they think it's that, they speculate that it's whatever you want it to be. And people write all their own commentaries on it also, saying that what it really means is this and that. And so they don't have a very clear idea. So the Vedas are hard to understand unless one gets it in the proper way, in the proper channel. And so Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they took all these shastras and all the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they put them into a package that we could, that the world can understand. And you can go to the airport or Walmart, and you can hand somebody a nectar of instruction and say, here it is in a package. Make your life perfect. They've done that for us. And those who take advantage of that kind of knowledge, which is coming down through disciplic succession, and learn how to assimilate it in a proper way, and they see what things are and what they aren't. They understand clearly. They do develop this kind of conviction in a very powerful way. Therefore, they become uttam bhaktis, the topmost devotee, because nothing can sway them, and they can move other people because they can convince with logic and argument. You had a point, and then Rakshit.
I just wanted to follow up that in this discussion about understanding, because the term understanding is used at many places in the Bhagavad Gita. We also know, for instance, it says that you cannot understand Krishna without devotional service. So even there, this term comes in. And one may ask, what does it mean to understand Krishna? While you were speaking, in fact, this insight, if you will, occurred that there is also another way by which understanding may come. So we talked about conviction. The other one is accepting authority, and the example that you gave of a child accepting a father's word. And the third is when it says that you can understand Krishna only by devotional service, then the process of devotional service is also imparting understanding, whereby which one is now able to understand because one is engaging in devotional service and Krishna is revealing the understanding to the person. And that may also be a path by which understanding may come.
Yes, in fact, we have several verses from the 10th chapter, at least two that are especially illuminating on this point. Tesham satata yuktanam, this is 10:10, you can look up. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami bhuti yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Now, in the purport of this verse, Prabhupada talks about how if someone isn't intelligent enough to take help from spiritual master and from Shastra and so on, if they're very sincere, Krishna will help them from within their heart. So there, he says there's no lack of assistance on the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the next verse, Tesham Ivanukam Partam Ahama Jnana Jamtamaha Nashayam Yatma Bhavasto Jnana Deepena Bhashvata. Krishna says that I illuminate their heart just like a lamp, the deep is there giving light to their heart. So he's there giving understanding from within the heart. And anyone, it doesn't matter if you're a scholar or not, who performs devotional service cannot be without knowledge and detachment. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayara Haitukam. This verse is from Divinity and Divine Service. It's a very important verse. And it says that when you perform devotional service to Krishna, to Vasudeva, Janayat Yashu Vairagyam, very quickly you get Jnana and Vairagya. It comes as a concomitant feature of devotional service. When you, no one is devoid of knowledge. And we see it all over the world. When Srila Prabhupada started his campaign to spread the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and he told people to worship Krishna specifically by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. People who had no connection with Vedic knowledge or culture became illuminated with knowledge, and you could go anywhere. You could travel anywhere in the United States and then around the world, and you'd find people from different cultures who had the same illumination of knowledge coming from their eyes and in their activities, because they're chanting Hare Krishna. You can't be without it if you're connected to the holy name and to the process of chanting Hare Krishna. Gandharvakya? Thank you. These are beautiful points you're making.
I have two questions, Prabhuji. The first one is regarding this line. In the beginning of this
Where are you? Which verse?
In the last verse purport that we read.
Uh-huh.
In the beginning of this chapter, the transcendental activities of the Lord were discussed by the Supreme Lord himself. So these are the knowledge about him or the activities that are discussed in Bhagavatam? What is the transcendental activities?
Now, show me again where you are. You're on page 240?
240, Prabhuji, yes. In the middle of the line.
Yeah, middle of the paragraph.
Paragraph, in the beginning of this chapter, the transcendental activities of the Lord were described by the Lord himself.
Yes.
So by transcendental activities, it's like those activities, it's childhood pastimes and all that.
No, in this chapter he's talking about.
Okay.
He talks about how he appears in this world, and Arjuna said, wait a minute. Who are you again? I thought you were my friend, who's with the sun god and all these things. And Krishna says, no. This is who I am. I'm the transcendental supreme personality of Godhead. These are his transcendental pastimes that he appears in this world. I mean, that he comes. He's the transcendental supreme personality of God, Ajopi son of Yayatma. But he still appears in this world by his internal energy. This is what is being referred to as his transcendental activities. Yeah.
So the other one that you talked about, conviction, bro, because sometimes the devotees are so convicted that they go beyond the material plane. Like sometimes they work until like 3 o'clock, 3 a.m. And then they, like for example, on Janmashtami days, and the next day they are up early to serve Srila Prabhupada. That's just an example. But in many instances, they're so enthusiastic, they take so much austerities to attend Mangalarati or whatever it is. But then sometimes people say that they are fanatic. So how do we convince them? Because conviction and fanaticism, people are confused if they are not at the same level of why people are so enthusiastic about it.
Dictionary, let's see what fanatic means. So when we meet people when we're out teaching Bhagavad Gita on the street or whatever, and somebody says that, are you a Hindu? Then you say, well, you tell me what a Hindu is first, and I'll tell you if I am one or not. Because it's really hard to say what a Hindu is. So someone says, you're a fanatic. You say, okay, well, let me see what a fanatic is, and I'll tell you if I am one or not. Quadrant one microphone should be over here. No, that's quadrant three microphone. That's quadrant two microphone. You can stay back there. Okay, go ahead.
Fanatic, a person possessed by an excessive zeal for and uncritical attachment to a cause or position.
Okay, so say it again piece by piece.
A person possessed by an excessive zeal for and uncritical attachment.
An uncritical attachment. Okay, so uncritical means that you didn't take the time to actually, find out what you're doing or why you're doing it. And there's a case for that given in the Nectar of Instruction when Rupa Goswami describes the things that can make you fall down from devotional service. He says, Atyahara prayashyascha prajalpo niyamagraha janashangascha lalyamcha shadbir bhakti vinashyati. Can ruin your devotional service by these items. And one of them, or actually two of them in one word, is niyamagraha. And niyamagraha means accepting the rules and regulations uncritically with excessive zeal, but not knowing why you're doing it. And niyamagraha means to reject the rules and regulations, just not follow them at all. And either way, you can fall off the edge. So someone may say, well, you're fanatical. You have an unexamined zeal, uncritical excessive zeal. That depends. It really depends on the person. You can't make a blanket statement about anyone. That's always dangerous. But generally, devotees are well studied. At least our devotees here at ISV are. And you know, around you know the Gaudiya Vaishnav community and ISKCON, devotees generally, you know, they have morning classes, evening classes. They're taking Bhakti Shastri classes. They're chanting Hare Krishna in a regulated way, and they have good association. They're hearing, and they're understanding why are we doing this, and it's understandable why someone would be excited when they understand this knowledge and have some zeal. It's not entirely excessive. I mean, Vrikreshwar Pandit in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced for 72 hours. Is that excessive zeal? Maybe to somebody on Wall Street is all morose because they lost all their money in the stock market crash. But to a devotee who's experiencing complete happiness in the association of Mahaprabhu, 72 hours is not excessive dancing. And if you ask for Vrikreshwar Pandit, he knows everything about, you know, what is matter, what is spirit, and so on. So devotees, I mean, even those who are not art scholars, as we said before, if they're engaged in devotional service, Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Janayatya Shuvairagyam. Bhagavatam says very quickly they get this jnana and vairagya, knowledge and detachment from the world, just by performing devotional service. So generally it's not true. Although, if, you know, new devotees, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, can have what's called, this is an anarta. It's one of the anartas that one has to overcome. It's called early zeal. Early zeal means I take to a discipline, whatever it is, and I immediately think that, you know, I'm an expert, and also I just become overly enthusiastic. You know, you start running the race and, you know, it's four laps and you run the first lap and then you're out of breath and that's it. I mean, there's something to be said for that. And sometimes we see, Tyakva sudharmam charanam bhujam bharer bhajana pakvo ta patet tato yadi. Narada says to Vyas that sometimes people give up everything. Tyakva sudharmam, they give up their job, they give up their occupation, and they take to devotional service full-heartedly, and then because they're apakva, which means they're not ripe yet, they give it up again. They go away. And Narada says, so what? Big deal. They took to devotional service, even if it was, you know, overly zealous. At least it was devotional service. And he says if they had given complete attention to their dharma and to their occupational duty and been completely successful but didn't get devotional service, then what is the use? So I'm trying to give a balanced answer, and that is that it's possible to be overly zealous and uncritically perform devotional service. That means not be well studied. And then, so it's a good idea to understand how to chant Hare Krishna. That is, how to avoid the offenses in chanting Hare Krishna. How to avoid the offenses against the deities. One should chant Hare Krishna and avoid Dham Aparad, Nam Aparad, Vaishnav Aparad, Seva Aparad. This is what a progressive life of Vaishnavism is. And to do that, one should be getting what is called Sambandha Gyan and constant infusion of knowledge from an instructing spiritual master. We take the name, but along with the name, we also take shiksha, constant shiksha, because that helps us to be critical and critical of not of others, of myself. I have to look within and see, how am I doing? Is this an anarta? Is it a weed or not? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this analogy that the heart is like a garden, and then as we water, as gardeners, the creeper of devotional service sprouts and grows, no doubt about it. However, as most gardeners know, weeds also grow too, and it's really hard to tell. I was looking at Usha. She brings flowers in all the time. It's hard to tell sometimes when creepers come up if they're which is which. So one has to be super critical of oneself and see, is this a creeper or is this devotional service? So yes, it's possible to be a fanatic in devotional service, and so we don't recommend that, and therefore we have a complete program following the footsteps of our acharya to understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and to be introspective and to see how I'm doing it. Does that help?
Yes, Prabhuji, that helped. I think maybe you already answered this question, but I just wanted to be clear. It means I'm not doubting what Prabhupada says, but I want to have a clear understanding. So Prabhupada says that if you tell that one sentence that you're the same Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you're instantly liberated. But we also talk about the symptoms of liberated person, like how they are equal in heat and cold and all that. So what does liberation actually mean in Krishna consciousness, and how should we really understand that instant liberation that Prabhupada talks about in that sentence?
Well, first of all, as I said earlier, there are different stages of advancement, and it's compared to a green mango and a ripe mango. Mango's a mango, and once the mango's there, it's going to come to fruition, as long as it stays on the vine, unless an elephant comes and rips it off somehow. So be a little bit careful. But the definition of liberation, there are several, but Rupa Goswami gives us Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikila api avastastu jivan muktasu uchite. Who is a liberated person? The person who is in this world, even in this body, Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira, means their activities, their mind, their speech. It's all engaged in Krishna's service. Krishna says a similar thing in this chapter, in the previous chapter, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagnau Brahmanohutam Tenaiva Brahmagantavyam Brahmakarma Samadhina. That the person who is engaging everything in Krishna's service is revealing the spiritual nature of everything, including in himself, in herself. Whoever's engaged is also becoming Brahman, because they're connecting with the Supreme Brahman, so it becomes revealed. And then, of course, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Swarupena Vyavastitihi, this definition of liberation is given. This is a very important verse. Of course, they're all important, but let's look this one up in your shloka book. I'll look it up, and I'll tell you where it is. Swarupena Vyavastiti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Look on page 205. Here's your definition of liberation. From Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.6, Shukadeva Goswami instructs Maharaj Parikshit, Muktir vayata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after it gives up the changeable, gross, and subtle material bodies. So I gave a couple of verses, one in which you're liberated even while you're in this material body, and this, when you give up the connection to the gross and subtle bodies altogether. And then, of course, in a negative sense, the verse which is mentioned which is given in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yene Ravindaksha Vimuktavanyas, Tvayasta Bhavad Avashuddha Buddhaya Aruya Krishna Paramparam Tata Patantyato Nadrita Yushmarangaya. The demigods praying to Lord Krishna in the womb say that only a person who has reestablished their relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually liberated. Everybody else has some imagined kind of liberation. It's faulty. and therefore they'll fall down from that situation. So this kind of liberation, which is being mentioned here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, means to factually reestablish one's relationship with Krishna. But a person who is, although apparently in a material body, still has even some quirky material bad habits, apparently, but has put themselves under the full care of Krishna through Krishna's representative, the spiritual master in the Bhagavad Gita, and is following that, that person is also liberated. No doubt about it. That person is also liberated. It doesn't mean, as Prabhupada says, that they grow four hands. That is not the definition of liberation. It means that you, with conviction, you're following the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're liberated. Okay? And then it's just a matter of degrees. And when you leave this body in that condition of following the Supreme Personality of Godhead and being convicted that he is completely transcendental, punarjanma naiti, you don't take birth again in this material world, you're liberated.
It's almost like when a student enters a medical college, he is called a doctor because it's assured that he will become out. Because a person who studies the engineering course is also called an engineer because he's working towards that.
Yes, nice analogy. You should write a book of analogies. Okay, so we're going to have Julan Yatra because the Lord enjoys his pastime of swinging from the swing, and we get to participate. And if this isn't a transcendental activity, I don't know what it is. So we're going to have a special program where the Lord will come out and he'll come on his swing with Srimati Radharani, and then everyone will have a chance to swing the Lord. And we're going to have some kind of a lineup. And as you come close, then there's some achman. You just touch water for purification, grab the rope. There's a lot of devotees here, so you get to swing a couple times. And then there's some flowers to offer. And you'll be happy and liberated all in one. Any special instruction for the Julan? Oh, look at that. We have a whole system. So this door will be open. We're going to have sweet bhajan going on. And then you can swing the Lord, go out this door, and come back around. Because that way we'll keep the flow going. All right? All right.